It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. We have another incredible show for you. Today, we have Mayor Thomas Ace Gallagher from Hanover Township. A wonderful guy, a great friend. We're going to explore with him on the journey of giving back, everything he's done in his life to give back, lift up the community. We're going to talk about the world of rock and roll. Ace is a very accomplished drummer. We're going to talk about his excursion into the political world, how he became mayor of Hanover Township. We're going to talk about all the wonderful things he's done to lift up the community, the programs to battle youngsters involved in drugs to root that evil out, and also, obviously, tackle mental illness. And most importantly, we're going to be talking about the 200 Club today, a great organization. And I want to dedicate the show to the amazing first responders. We can never forget the ultimate sacrifices these brave men and women perform every day for us, every second of our lives. So I want to dedicate the show to the first responders. If you like what I'm doing on the show, just subscribe. Go to YouTube and check us out. Follow us on Facebook. Good morning, Ace.
How are you today, Todd? And thank you for having me here.
It's a real honor and privilege to have you on, Mayor. I was thinking of one of my first questions has got to be, what's more nerve-wracking, throwing the first pitch out yesterday at Little League or coming on the Todd Leonard Show Journey of Giving Back?
I think the first pitch was more nerve-wracking, to be honest with you, because I haven't thrown a baseball in about 10 years. And I made a commitment to myself that I would throw a few balls this week with my son. I took the ball out of the garage, I put it on the kitchen counter, and it stayed there. I went to the field the night before, I took the mound, I threw a couple air balls. I said, this feels pretty good. But boy, oh boy, when I was walking up that grass across that first baseline, I was a nervous wreck. And fortunately, it went well.
God bless you. You didn't bounce it into home plate?
No, I was prepared for that, though, and I was going to make it as if I was having a good time, like Ralph Cramden from the Hello Ball. Make it like I was part of, like, trying to be entertaining for the kids. So I had a device in place just in case it didn't go well, but it went well. So thank you for asking.
So in other words, when you're driving here to the wonderful studio here in Cedar Knolls, New Jersey, when you're driving, you're thinking you spend 1 hour with me, which is never easy anyway, mm-hmm. Great day. You were not as nervous.
I am nervous, but I'm confident in the material that we're going to cover and the importance of what we're going to cover. And you and I are brothers in the 200 Club. And for me to be a little bit nervous and a little bit awkward, a little bit out of my setting, it's worth it to get some really good news out there and to acknowledge such a great group of people.
No question about it. You know, each week, Mayor, I bring folks on. I kind of canvass the community. It's really throughout our great country. Mm-hmm. And I'll try to bring folks on. And I love people that are making a difference, making the world better. And that's the mission of the show, mm-hmm. on the journey of giving back. What makes people tick? And it becomes motivational, inspirational as well, because it really, you know, I think puts a spotlight on those that are making a difference. So, you know, Mayor, one of the other things I just want to get out of the way, because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm getting to know you really well through the 200 Club. We're brothers. Mm-hmm. And I understand your wife, Sheila's birthday is today. So you get a shout out also. Get that out of the way.
Well, I wanted to cover that right away because today is my wife's birthday, Sheila. And when you first asked me to come on, of course, I was honored. My family was honored. We joked it's going to be a long time for me to, you know, to be focused and talk and cover so many topics. But I had the blessing from my wife. Yeah, come on. She loves the 200 Club. She loves all of you guys. So happy birthday, Sheila. We appreciate you. I appreciate you. And it's a family sacrifice when we do as much as we do. So it is a family journey. You refer to the word journey. I think that's a beautiful way to refer to a lot of this.
Good. So we're on a roll. We got out the fact the first pitch was nerve-wracking. The shout-out to your wife. Beautiful. We're on a good roll.
Now we're living large.
We're living large. We're peaking, but we don't want to peak too early. Okay. So the other thing I want to get out of the way, because it's a little bit confusing, is you have this nickname, Ace. And when I met you, everybody's like, you got to meet Ace Gallagher. He's the coolest guy. He's got this enthusiasm. He can make things happen. And you have not disappointed. But for the listeners, Ace, how'd that come about?
We went over it yesterday a little bit. And it's a funny story because when I was younger, I was always the guy that made up nicknames for all my friends. And it would come to me. And I thought, and they stuck. But I never had a nickname. So when we were younger, we used to play music all the time. My brother Dan plays the guitar. I always played the drums. We had a dear friend of ours in East Hanover, Bobby Giordano, that would always say, "Yo, Ace, you playing tonight?" And he would play air guitar. And I'd say, "Yo, Bob, I play the drums." He'd go, "Oh, that's right." 2-3 times a week when I'd see him. "Yo, Ace, you playing tonight?" So I got the nickname Ace because of Ace Frehley, because a dear friend of ours got my instrument and my brother's instrument confused. It stuck. So it kind of just became my nickname, and I like it.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was like a gambling, it was music.
Ace Frehley.
Beautiful. Shout out to Ace Frehley. So let's talk a little bit, you know, Mayor, about your journey in life. And because we're all on a journey, I mean, just the way it is. I love talking about it because, mm-hmm. you know, you could go one direction and then all of a sudden you pivot. Things happen in your life. So I know that one of the things that informed your life was your upbringing. I know your mother had a love for music. She's a very talented music teacher. And what kind of work did your dad do?
My father was an insurance salesman. And he was, he wasn't musically or artistically inclined. And even yesterday when we spoke, like, people refer to music and arts. Basically, music is art. So we just refer to arts. And a lot of my family members are art teachers. They're great artists. They're musicians. But my father was he was an academic. He was a very, very sharp guy. But he was an insurance salesman. And he said that he played cards. They'd say, "Mike, what do you play?" He'd said cards. So that was his instrument.
Good card
playing
player?
Cards. He said he was good. I never saw him play.
Oh, okay. So let's talk about music because, you know, rock and roll. I mean, rock and roll. I'll be honest. I tried the trumpet for like 2 weeks when I think I was in fifth grade. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say the name of the teacher, but let's just say after 2 weeks, me and the trumpet, we parted ways. And it probably was a blessing. But I like music. We're going to be going to the Billy Joel concert in a few weeks.
Oh, nice. Very
our,
nice.
Our mutual friend Leanne, we're going to get some couples together. We're going to go to Madison Square Garden. But I haven't been to a concert in a long time. But and shout out to Leanne, too, and her wonderful husband.
She's Jonathan. A great lady.
Yeah, she really is. And she's really supportive, too, of the first responders. Her husband, Jonathan, great first responder, local police officer in Garwood. Wonderful guy as well. So shout out to Jonathan. So music. How'd you get involved in the drums?
Well, that's an interesting question because when I was very young, of course, I heard the Beatles. I heard music in my house all the time. My mom was a piano teacher and she taught privately in our house in Bayonne. I was always at church, heard the church choirs. I thought music was beautiful. I thought it was exciting. I liked the peaks and valleys and different pieces. When I first heard the Beatles, I'm not one of those drummers that said, "Oh my God, I want to play the drums." But I felt like I was participating in the music somehow. And it wasn't until I heard the intro to the TV show Hawaii Five-O that I physically reacted. I said, "Oh my God."
How old were you?
Probably, when I heard that, I was probably 6.
Oh, you're a youngster.
I went crazy, physically. I thought it was the coolest thing I ever heard. I ran in my room. I tried to play it on my toy drum set. I couldn't play it. Every time that show came on, I was standing in front of the TV. It was the second record I ever bought. I got the album for my birthday. It was The Ventures, Hawaii Five-O. And to this day, I always say being a drummer is being a musician. And drums is a musical instrument, and you have to play with other people to make it sound very good. And one of my lines used to be, the music has to sound good before the drums come in. Because nobody really wants to go watch a drummer. They want to go hear great music, and they want to hear ensemble play. But Hawaii Five-O changed my life. And from Hawaii Five-O, then came Grand Funk Railroad, Don Brewer. The excitement, the power. It physically affected me. And you see how we all are. When we're passionate, we're fired up. And that's what really made me say, I'm a drummer. I want to be a good drummer.
I wish I would have known that, Mayor, because I would have had MK, the wonderful engineer, play that as the intro. We could have skipped my intro right to the Hawaii Five-O, and maybe, and I'm sorry for the listeners and viewers, we could add a little drum set because I'm sure you could really work it. So the drums, though, there's so many different instruments, but what made you gravitate to being a drummer?
I like the rhythm. I like, I had an aptitude for it that I don't understand. Like, I always feel like I knew how to play. Even when I had a toy drum set, I felt like I knew how to play. Before that, I was banging on pots and pans. I think a lot of times people don't choose what instrument they want to play. They're pulled towards the instrument they want to play. Like even the way a drum set looked, I still think it's beautiful. Like I have my main three drum sets are custom made Ludwigs, and I could just stare at them. My cymbals are just beautiful. I love my cymbals. You're gravitated towards it in a way that's hard to understand. Just like guitars, like my brother has all Fenders. Some people will have a Gibson Les Paul, Gibson SG, and maybe a Stratocaster. I just love the way they looked. I love the way they sounded. I love the excitement. And even going a little bit further, when you listen to a beautiful song like Stairway to Heaven, when the drums come in, you feel like you feel energized. You feel like something's really taking place. And I like that feeling. And, you know, and a lot of times we talk about trumpet. I played the trumpet for 6 or 7 years. But although I liked the trumpet and I liked learning my scales, my sharps and flats, I just couldn't wait to put it down and go play my drums.
And you tour. I mean, you're an accomplished drummer. I mean, just for the listeners and viewers.
We played a lot of different places. We played with a lot of people. We recorded a lot and I taught a lot. I taught for 18 years.
How was it like to teach?
To be honest with you, I really enjoyed it. Because of my disposition, like my mom took a lot of time finding me a teacher, especially when I got a little older. Because when I was younger, you go to who they bring you to. I took drum lessons, which really changed my life. I had a township gentleman, Jay Facenda. And I always needed to know the practical application of something. So he'd play something. And I'd say, that's really cool, but why do I need to know that? And he would show me why I needed to know that, because everything comes down to rudiments. Just like in writing, everything comes down to vocabulary and understanding of the words. Music is no different. So when you have a really good teacher and you ask a lot of questions, you know that the students you have are thinking the same thing. So I would play something for one of my students and I'd go, I know that face. You're wondering why you need to know that. I'm going to show you why you need to know that. So after a couple of years, I became a good teacher. Because they also, with a drum teacher, just like any other teacher, you want to emulate them and you want to emulate the good. And I was a very disciplined drummer. I had beautiful equipment. I worked for all my equipment. My sounds were very important. And I always needed to have a good band. Because even in public service, we say that you don't want to be a good drummer in a bad band. And it takes a lot of courage to surround yourself with good, smart people in anything you do in life. So music transferred into every single thing I do in my life and my theory on life and public service.
Well, that, you know, fascinating. I know, obviously, we're going on the journey, but this is how, you know, things in life, disciplines and what life lessons, mm-hmm. how it helps you in a lot of different things. So here we're talking drums, and then you're just telling the audience and listeners, hey, listen, this also can be used throughout your entire life. So you're talking about putting a team together, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Mayor? That's wonderful. Your parents, because we're always, you know, I miss my late parents. I mean, I wish they were here. I'm blessed with two young boys. And they're always with me inside. Right. Working out this morning, I was thinking about them, thinking about having you come on, about the enthusiasm and passion they taught in me. And that's what I want to explore with you too, Mayor. Mm-hmm. Every time I meet you, and I hopefully it comes across with the listeners, you're enthusiastic. And I know people I meet in life, and well, I was so happy to have you come out, because when I was talking to you after one of these big 200 club meetings, mm-hmm. and we're in the parking lot, I was in my car, and it was cold out. You're outside, you're in a nice jacket, but not that heavy, and the wind was howling. Your hair, wonderful hair, didn't move very much, but it was windy and cold. But you had the passion. Where do you get the passion from in life?
I want to be very careful how I answer this. When I'm interested in something, when I want to do something, it's 100%. If I don't understand something, I don't feel something, I won't say, oh, yeah, that sounds great, count me in, just to have my name on a list. What I do, I want to do. I'm learning how to say no now, because especially being mayor, like a lot of people want you to come to different things. And it's really important that you do. But when it comes to the 200 Club, when it comes to the Mental Health Association, when it comes to being the mayor of Hanover Township and working with the kids, I was on a board of ed too. And you understand this. I see your passion. When somebody wants to do something and wants to be somewhere, and they're truly devoted and they do their homework, you could really make things change. You could really, like, no matter what, if you asked me right now to be on a volleyball team I would say, yeah, I think volleyball's cool. I played 22 years ago down the shore for about a half an hour. I would do it because you're my friend and would probably be trying to raise money for something. But I'm not feeling the volleyball.
You got the height there. How tall are you?
6'1".
Yeah, you got some height. I guess what I'm going to be like the setter. I'd be the smaller guy in the back for the big guys.
But I'd be in the back talking to somebody, so I wouldn't be that useful.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
But thank you, man. But no, I appreciate your comment about the enthusiasm. And I think that, and going back to teamwork, and I refer to ensemble play because of a musician, being a musician. If you look at our 200 club, even our board of trustees, everybody's wonderful. Everybody's selfless. Everybody works constantly. And it's for the greater good. And you know, with the 200 club, you look to me, ask me for anything, it's done, because I understand that I'm enthusiastic about it. I love it. I think it's important. So my enthusiasm comes from wanting to be where I am at that time. Yeah, and I'm honest with it.
Well, no, that's true. I mean, that's a wonderful thing too. A lot of people are going through life and they're not that enthusiastic. Let's say at work, they show up at work and they're looking at the clock and they're looking at the clock. There's no passion. They get a paycheck, but there's no passion.
Right.
And then they look in the mirror one day, a week, a month, a year, 5, 10 years go by, and then all of a sudden they had a career that there was no fulfillment. So, you know, I know with your evolution professionally too, I mean, I know you started out very humbly in the tree industry. And just kind of, if you could share a little bit about, you know, you threw your hat in the ring to be on your own at a relatively young age. Mm. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Mayor?
If I had to do something, if I had to change anything, and I wouldn't, because I like where I am. I love my family. I love my position. I love interacting with people like you. So a lot of things, I think everything kind of worked out so far. And they say if you have your health, you have everything, and I believe that. But what happened was, years and years ago, when you played music and you were good, you didn't make money at it. And the most important thing is you played good. You played in a good room. People thought you were good. But if you didn't think you did good, it didn't mean anything. You know, if somebody says, oh, Gallagher, you were great. And if I had a good, if I didn't have a good night, I drove home the whole time not talking to anybody.
You would know you didn't have a good
night. Oh, yeah, I would know it. I would know.
How would you know it wasn't a good night?
You can just tell. You can just tell. You can tell almost right away. Something's off. Something doesn't sound right. You're a little stiff. You're thinking a little too much. You can tell. Sometimes it's just, it was so good, it was magical. When you can't put your finger on what it is, you know what I mean? Yeah. And the sound of a room can make all the difference in the world.
You know, it's interesting you say that. So sometimes when I'm trying a case, I just feel I'm in that flow. Mm-hmm. And it's, or I'm in a deposition and it's just like, wow. Other days I'm like, you know, there's something a little off. But, you know, your involvement, you started, I know you were a tremendous drummer and obviously you pivoted and you ended up getting involved in the tree business. How did that happen?
Well, that goes back to my last answer. I have to want to do something. And when we were playing a lot and rehearsing a lot, we had no money. And my family made it very clear that my family didn't have money either. So we didn't have the luxury of having our family help us with our car insurance. We had to buy our first car. My first car was $460.
What'd you have?
I had a 1970 Nova.
Really?
That made so much. Not one of the ones that has any value, though. Oh. Not one of the ones that has any value. This thing was funny. So to make a long story short, we were playing a really good show, and I needed two Evans bass drum heads. And at the time, they were $32. Tommy Aldridge, one of my favorite drummers, had Evans bass drum heads. And $32 a head for was a lot of money back then. So I thought, I'm not going to be able to get those drum heads by a show. So one of my friends at a party said, Gallagher, you're a big guy. You want to do tree work? And I said, no way. I'm afraid of all of that equipment. I'm a musician. So he said, I'll give you $10 an hour to throw logs. And I said, $10 an hour to throw logs. I worked. But that night I went and bought those two bass drum heads. He said, you want to come in tomorrow? I said, yeah. So in my bio, I said that I immediately loved the tree business because it was loud. You had the feeling of accomplishment. You were never bored. I never checked the watch. It was like we were all in the field together. It was almost like we were just having a good time. So then I realized the profitability in it. And I said, you know, this is like I don't have a job. I love being in a field. At the time, we all were Timberlands and Herman Survivors. Now we all wear Red Wings. So then what happened was we got further and further into it, and I became pretty important in the tree company. Then we went residential because the real estate market was crashing and they were slowing down on big developments. So we're doing a job, and at the time, I won't tell you what I was making, because some people think it's a lot, but it wasn't a lot at all. Some guy rolled in with a stump grinder, and he didn't make the money. He generated more income in 3 hours than I was making in 42 hours a week. So I said, wait a minute, I could do that. And I said, I could do that. I could make serious money, work a little bit less, and play drums more. So once I got the loan, I realized it was all marketing. Once I learned, it took a couple of years to really learn the craft and learn it well and learn it safely. But my job's really all marketing. And even with stump grinding, back then when I was a kid, I started at 26 years old in my own business. I would ride through a neighborhood. Every single property had a stump on it. And every stump was about this big. And each stump represented $100. So I said, I can come here with 10 flyers, make $1,000 by 3 o'clock, and then take tomorrow off because all I want to do is play my drums. I didn't realize what a good idea it was at that young of an age. And the last thing about this is, years ago, I used to advise younger people how to come up in business. And my wife said to me, you tell all these young guys to work smart. How are you going to work smart? I said, I don't know. I never tell anybody I don't know anything. I'll just not answer or give you a quick one, you know? But it's technology and it's money. Like, my equipment today is so incredible. It's so safe. It basically does the job for me. That's why I have to go to the gym so much. Because
the show is, by the way, I have to say.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah. It's not from work. It's from Powerhouse Gym in Whippany.
Oh, good shout out to Powerhouse.
Good shout out to Powerhouse in Whippany. But yeah, so that's the whole story about my job.
Interesting. But so you took a bit of a leap of faith at a young age.
I did.
So for the listeners and to the motivational aspect of this, Mayor, you put your hat in the ring at a young age. Mm-hmm. How'd that feel when you're like 26 years old? You're leaving a company and you're going to go on your own.
I for some reason, I knew I can do it.
Where do you think you got the confidence from?
Well, that's another thing I wrote down in my notes after we talked yesterday. And we're probably going to talk a little bit about behavior and politics and different skill sets. And I think it comes from being a musician again. I had the courage to do a lot of soul searching. Like, I have a pretty good idea who I am. I do respect myself, and therefore I believe I am more apt to respect others. But it's hard to be honest. And that's why martial arts is good. That's why music is good. That's why working with people like you and Rob and the 200 Club is good, and Sheriff Gannon. Wonderful, wonderful, confident people. And I had a pretty good understanding on who I was, and I almost devoted myself to not being able to fail at this. Because I said, if I fail, I failed because I'm lazy. And I've never been lazy. And if I'm ever tired, I just drink a cup of coffee. I didn't drink a lot of coffee today just because we have to go to straight hour, you know, we're not gonna get a little break.
We don't want to break
the rhythm.
No.
But I had a confidence, and truthfully, it sounds funny because you can't control many things, but I didn't look at that as an option for it to fail.
So the work ethic, because that's another thing that I know is really important to you and I can relate to, because my late parents, my dad, you know, worked incredibly hard. One of the great gifts my parents gave me was self-belief, but also I watched them by example and I saw what my dad was doing. My dad was one of those gifted folks, incredibly smart, but had a huge heart, but he loved what he did. He never thought it was work. And when I lost my dad in 2009, I was honored. My brother and I, Scott, who's a great local lawyer too, were able to go to a few different bar associations and make some speeches about my late dad. And the greatest gift about my dad professionally, because we were lawyers together, was he never thought it was work. He loved it so much that it was like all consuming in a way that, but it wasn't the person that dreaded going to work. He loved it. It was in his soul. He never maybe could turn it off. But that's a gift. So, you know, Mayor, one of the fascinating things, you were in the tree industry, and you're in the tree industry, you grind stumps and do other wonderful things in that industry, but you got involved in politics, which is another interesting thing. How'd you get in the world? Because it gets a little messy sometimes.
Oh, it does.
Yes. So how'd you get in the middle of the ring, so to speak, in politics?
Well, that's another funny story. When my boy was young, Danny, we had a few issues with Dan. And I won't really get into it, but we had a few issues with Dan. And we went to the school a couple times. It wasn't Hanover Township. And they weren't very concerned. My wife was very upset, and my wife cried quite a bit. I got angry, but it didn't mean anything. They said, oh, you should call the Board of Ed members if you're not satisfied with the response you're getting from the school. We did. It's 2023. It's 9:30 in the morning on April 23rd. I still haven't gotten a call back from those guys. I'm not waiting. I kind of gave up on it. But I thought it was a shame because you see the people in the paper smiling. You see people talking about how wonderful they are, these great accomplishments that they've achieved. But when it really came to helping people, they weren't there for us. And I was very disappointed. Now, being a musician, we played for a lot of political guys. Some of them were wonderful. And some of them, we knew what it was. Like, we were a fan. And me and my brother Dan were a fan and student of politics because we thought a lot of it was like show business. And a lot of it wasn't real. People talk. They want to look good. They want to get the applause. They want to be told they're wonderful. They want to eat and go home. That's not public service, if you ask me. So when I moved to Hanover Township, we created a program called the One Day, One School Beautification and Safety Initiative. And that simply came out of a need because one of the schools needed tree work. It wasn't in the budget. So me and a few of my friends went over there, did the tree work for free. And I, the way I think when I'm at the gym on the elliptical, I put together a big program. And, you know, we got a lot of attention, and they've done them all over the country. It's called the One Day, One School Beautification and Safety Initiative. We saved... When I became a committeeman, we stopped tallying up the money. But at that point, we were at $900,000 saving school districts in Morris County with beautification, hazardous tree removal, hazardous tree pruning. So somebody said to me, Gallagher, you ought to run for the Board of Education. I didn't know what they did other than the guy didn't call. Nobody called me back a couple years ago. I called my mother. I said, Mom, what did the Board of Education do? And she says, oh, they make decisions. Like, I can make decisions. But and we both laughed. I ran for board. I got a good number. I ran for the board the second time. I got an even better number. And then somebody said, you should run for committee. And I said, I don't want to do that. I go, with the Board of Ed, it's about the people. I think on that level, it's more about yourself. I'm not very interested in doing anything except helping people. And so one of my friends, Kenny Schleifer, a dear friend from Hanover Township, said, I'm not going to run again if you run. I said, I'm not. I don't want to do that. He said, but then I'm going to run again. But if you run, I won't run. I said, well, why are you putting this kind of pressure on me? I don't know anything about what you guys do. And he kind of talked me into it. And I ran. I got a really good number. And from there, I've been serving on all different levels with all different committees and boards and groups. So that's the whole story about how we get involved.
So one of the things, Mayor, which is also on the journey of giving back, is the journey. Did you ever think that in 2023, you are going to be the mayor of a town, especially Hanover Township?
I could say that I thought about how cool it would be because one of my friends was a mayor at a very young age in Flora Park. But no, I never thought so. I thought that I would just do my thing, help some people. And I felt pretty good about it. But I mean, every step we can't dictate. But, you know, Dean Martin always said, the harder you work, the luckier you become. I mean, I know all of us, we wake up and we're fired up from the get-go. I'm very happy it took place. I'm enjoying doing what I'm doing. I have an incredible group of people I work with. But no, I still, it doesn't really mean to me what other people think it may. Like Carmen Blandino, a dear friend of mine that died a couple of years ago, and God bless him and his beautiful family, he was a mentor to me. He told me I'm the only committeeman that doesn't refer to himself as a committeeman. And I said, I don't know what that means. See, I think I'm a public servant. I think I help people. At least I try to. And if I can't, I'll put them in the right direction. So, no, I think it's really cool. I'm honored. I know that everything has its shelf life. But already I'm looking forward. I'm looking for tomorrow. And what can I do to help set up Hanover Township for the next group coming up? Just like, again, AC/DC for those about to rock. Who's coming up? What those kind of about, model are we going to give them?
So I know those about to rock, we salute you. So we have to,
yes,
have
sir.
To impress you. So
yes, sir.
A short break. And we'll be right back with Mayor Gallagher. Join us back in 30 seconds.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
I'm ready to go. Man, you ready to rock it out. Thanks again, MK. MK's got some moves back there for people that can't see or but can hear me and my enthusiasm. She can shake and bake up there. That's music, by the
Definitely way. Definitely take care of her business back there.
She took care of you, Mayor.
I'm very happy right
about
now.
About to rock. She saluted you. She's really into your appearance today. She was also a big a pet lover. We had Roger Kaiser from 11th Hour Rescue.
Oh, nice.
Wonderful organization. And she loves her cats as well. I think she has three cats. So, Mayor, you know, I was delving into the world of politics. And I know that, you know, on the journey, you're a mayor now. But you're involved in a lot of programs that are really important. And I've had the great privilege, very difficult charge, that people have lost loved ones to drug addiction and unfortunately to suicide. And it's discouraged, I think, of our community all throughout the country. It's not just local. And I know you care a lot about fighting to try to, you know, have the youngsters make better choices to stay, you know, off drugs, not get involved in drugs. What are your thoughts on that?
That's a good question. I'm going to keep my eye on the clock because this one I can talk about quite a bit in all sincerity. I'm aware of a lot of different behaviors. I'm aware of a lot of the trends, and I have been aware of a lot of the trends for a long time. Even with the New Jersey Coalition, none of us are experts in drug and alcohol abuse and addiction. But what we realized probably about 10 years ago is it was getting worse and worse. And it was a little offensive to me, being a father, that there was a lot of people were getting recognition for their great, great work when statistically the numbers were getting worse. I said, we're not really addressing like what the issue is. How can we make it better? How can we truly fight? How can we truly be effective in a war on drugs? And I believe knowledge is power. I started to go more and more assemblies, and the more and more assemblies I went to, less and less parents were there. I said, well, what's the vehicle to get information to families? Because the assembly is great, but I think the day of the big assembly is over. If you have it for students and a captive audience, that's beautiful. But you know, when they come home, hey, what'd you learn today in that assembly? Oh, nothing. So that's your knowledge of that crisis. So what a few of us did was got together and said, listen, if we can simply share information in real time, a trend, the drug, the telltale signs of behavior, who to speak to if you believe this is becoming an issue with you or a loved one or a friend of a loved one, who can you speak to and learn more? So at no point did we make ourselves like the grand poobah. We became an instrument to share relevant information with parents so they could be more effective. We started sharing it with Little League, with scouts, with all different groups that have access to our children. But then, fast forward, James Gannon got elected. Now, I said this in my opening reorganization speech on January 5th.
About Sheriff Gannon.
I'm talking about Sheriff James Gannon.
Right.
Thank God for Sheriff Gannon, because I don't even want to make believe as a mental exercise that he didn't do what he did and he's not doing what he's doing. Nobody can fully understand the impact of his work. And hopefully a lot of people, the majority of people won't need to understand the impact of his work. But he is helping so many people in a real way. And with Sheriff Gannon, hopefully like with me and some of my colleagues, it's not about us. It's about the big picture. You'll never hear Sheriff Gannon say anything other than, this is working pretty good. I want to make it better. I want to introduce this in 3 months. Can you come take a look at it? So what introduced me further to trying to be helpful is I know, again, and we talked about it before, if somebody has confidence and feels a sense of purpose, they're going to be less likely to go down the wrong road and follow a bad crowd. Like when I was playing drums all the time, I was more into my drums, my cymbals, packing up, having a friend by the stage, a friend by the vehicle, so my instruments wouldn't get stolen. I never bought into the drug and alcohol lifestyle. I was a musician. You don't have to do anything as a musician or an athlete to participate in that lifestyle. It's comforting, it's welcoming, and the bar is very low. And so what we try to do is we work with martial arts studios. We work with Powerhouse. We work with Retro. We work with the YMCA. We work with dance studios. We have a music and arts division. For instance, if somebody paints and somebody's father said, oh, that's garbage, why don't you go and get a real job, or why don't you go play baseball with the kids? Well, maybe the kid doesn't want to play baseball. Maybe he wants to do art. Maybe he should take the time. And so what we want, we'll try to do is not only share great information, and now Sheriff Gannon is at the top of the ticket for all of this, but we also try to understand how we can build our children and enhance their strengths and make them feel better about themselves. And then from there, we believe they'll be less likely to go down a bad path.
Right. I mean, it scares the heck out of me. I have two young boys, and, you know, we know people, and everybody knows people that goes on the wrong path or hangs out with the wrong crowd. It just makes one bad decision.
Yeah, it does.
And they could lose their life. I mean, you're talking about the New Jersey Coalition for Education and Positive Choices. You actually received the Jefferson Award by the governor of New Jersey for your outstanding work. And it's a beautiful thing and a blessing that you're so committed. One of the things, too, Mayor, is mental health. You know, this is another thing that I think, candidly, growing up, there was a lot of stigma attached to people getting psychological care and counseling. And even to this day, we have to remove the stigma for people that need help. And I know more and more, myself being an attorney now, when people are trying to get admitted to the bar, they're changing the rules. So if you have a mental health issue in the past, you don't have to reveal it the way you did in the past, because it makes people less likely to get the help they need. Because people need help. Everybody needs help. I don't care who you are. A billionaire and someone with, you know, a homeless. People need help at times in their life, just the way life is. Why do you feel so strongly that mental health is also something that's a passion of yours to help people address those problems?
Well, that was a great question and segue, because we did change the name of our organization to be more broad. And we are now the NJC4. Next to that, we have four bullets. It's NJC4, mental health, wellness, addiction and available services, addressing our senior citizen needs, and then education and positive choices. Mental health is interesting because to even address it makes people curious. Just like in college, when you take Psych 1 and Psych 2, the joke after Psych 1 was, well, now you learned everything you learned. You learned enough to think there's something wrong with you for the rest of your life. The whole class started laughing and we were relieved. But to make a long story short, even if you're concerned about a way you're feeling, a way a loved one is feeling and thinking, you can get information and discuss it with somebody. Even the Mental Health Association now has a texting back and forth for young people. I think people are afraid that they're not normal. And what is normal? We're supposed to respect everybody's individuality and their diversity. I think making believe there's nothing wrong is worse than acknowledging that there's something wrong. And I think that if you get a couple big mouths like me and my friends to talk about mental health, and we work closely with the Mental Health Association and the Sheriff's Department, there's nothing wrong with having a problem. Everybody has problems. It's what are you going to do about it? And that's why a lot of everything ties back into problem solving. Like, look, even at Men in Arena, we have Friday nights at Men in Arena, 10 consecutive Friday nights. Sometimes we have 200 to 300 kids every Friday night. You know what I say to those kids? We open the door for every kid. I say, have fun, be careful. And if you have a problem, you come find me. Like, who am I? Makes the kids feel confident. They're going to have fun. And if they have a problem, they're going to go talk to the mayor, period. Well, if somebody has a problem, or somebody's child has a problem that they don't understand or they're worried about, they're not alone. So I think talking about mental health is real. I think it's beautiful how it's front and center with everything. We're doing more and more seminars with the Mental Health Association. And again, we're going to organize sports. We're going to scouts. We're going to all different groups. And then they're sharing information with their people. But the only thing I want to jump on is a term, stigma-free, is beautiful if it was practiced. It's not practiced. I have people much older than me, that to this day will still make a comment about my hairstyle. At my age, I mean, in second, third grade, to have somebody criticize my hairstyle was one thing, because I wanted to be in Grand Funk Railroad. I didn't really want to be in the Yankees. I wanted to play the drums at Madison Square Garden with Grand Funk Railroad. But I think that when people say mean things and critical things, and under their breath to people that are trying, it to me, it shows their insecurity, and it shows a bad behavioral component that shouldn't be acknowledged. And I think people in society put too much emphasis on what the other person thinks of them. And I always say, if I can sleep at night, I had a good day. I did everything I could have done, and I did everything I could to help people. So mental health, I'm glad you brought it up, because I'm sure we're going to work on this together for a couple of years with the sheriff. It's the most important thing almost in the world, because we talk about fitness, we talk about diet, we talk about our cholesterol. Even me and my friends, we're old enough to now, we all know what our PSAs are. But what about our brain? What about what we worry about? What about the way we treat each other? And who do we talk to if we know somebody's struggling? And the big term with drugs and alcohol, too, is self-medicating. We don't know how to self-medicate, and should we be medicating? That's why we have to talk to a professional. And stigma-free could be real. And if somebody is down and out and they need help, I'll give them the shirt off my back, and I know most of my colleagues will. And that's what brings me also into this fight, because we know we have a purpose. We know we're making headway, but we can only get stronger and work harder, and that's what we're doing.
You know, once again, Mayor, that's why I was so privileged to have you on today, because I know the kind of guy you are, and that's your heart and soul you just spoke about.
Thank you. Thank you.
And God bless you for those feelings. You know, in life, too, it is hard, because everybody wants to please others. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, looks at a movie star and fantasizes what their life is like. But the reality is they have the same issues we all do. But also, you got to run your own race, mm-hmm. right? You got to run your own race. And by the way, your hair looks good.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
A comment.
My wife is my personal hairstylist.
She does a lovely
birthday girl,
job.
Yes.
Sheila does a really nice job. And I think that's, you know, a blessing to have that relationship with your wife. But I think that's part of why the discussion has to be had, because people are still really not interested in putting it out there. Because if you don't put it out in the open, it can't be addressed. So I think that's really important. And one last thing beyond, you know, Sheriff Gowan is one of these unique characters.
Oh, he is.
Privileged to know real well. I see the Hope One vehicle drive around Morris County and is spreading throughout this whole great state and probably throughout the country. But it's important. And I think for the listeners, it's really important. Let's talk now about the 200 Club of Morris County, because one of the really great things that I'm getting to know you so much better is because of my involvement in the club. Mm-hmm. And I know I got involved because I love the first responders. We can't do enough to say thank you to them and to really show our love and support. The firefighters, the police, the EMTs, people driving around in the ambulances, people coming when you're in a crisis and they're seeing everyone at their worst. And sadly, sometimes we lose a hero. Mm-hmm. So that's my reasons why I'm involved in the 200 Club. What about you, Mayor?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for all your hard work in the 200 Club. You've been here for a while, and thank you for doing it. It's very, very important. My support and appreciation for law enforcement and first responders began at 4 years old. We lived in Bayonne, and I had really bad asthma and bronchitis. I got rushed to the hospital on a regular basis. I joked it 80% of the time it was in the back of a police car. It was going up 30th Street, about 80 miles an hour. I thought it was great. My family was worried and upset. I was having a time of my life being in the back of a police car going that fast on 30th Street in Bayonne. But I owe my life to the Bayonne first responders. I really do. I could have died a couple different times. I couldn't breathe. One time I turned blue. I was in the back of a police car. I was in a hospital for a week. I felt like $1 million. But those police handled me like I was their own son, and that meant a lot to me, and it always did. Then we were always taught by both of my parents to wave to a policeman. He's your friend. When we lived in Bayonne, and then once we moved out, we went back many, many weekends until we were older, there was always a fire. That was really big in the cities a long time ago. There was always a fire. So we'd chase the fire engines and watch the guys with the equipment, and realizing that they're putting their lives on the line for somebody else, and nine times out of 10, somebody they don't even know. That's a special person. So I've always tried to do everything I could, like even with our music group, we played some PBA functions, some PBA Christmas parties. But when I had a heart-to-heart with Sheriff Gannon, and we became great friends, and we're all very close to the sheriff, and we're blessed to have the sheriff, never mind to call him a dear friend of all of ours, and I know he'll take everybody's call. But I said, what can I do? I said, as a committeeman at the time, I said, we can take pictures with the guys. We can thank them. Our real judgment comes from how we handle budget. We don't have a lot of room in a budget to give them more than they can get because the municipal budgets are so tight. So the sheriff talked to me about the 200 Club. The more I learned about it, the 200 Club is an incredible organization. Beautiful, beautiful, selfless people that spend so much time to help a family. God forbid there's a tragedy. Because I have police in my family, and even my nephew that just started, he's a kid. Well, sometimes people don't come home. The guy goes to work, everything's great, and he'll see you at 5, we're having burgers tonight, super. Or if they work 7 to 7, I'll pick something up on the way, and they don't come home. That's a scary world. So for me to have the opportunity to work with such an incredible group to hopefully help make a difference, it is an honor. It's my honor. And we have the Valor Dinner coming up Thursday night. And I'm not an ambassador, but I'm a trustee. And I said to the guys at the academy the other day, I said, you know what? Give me something to do. I want to go there and I want to help. So I'm going to work with Jerry, like walking the people in and walking the people, get their photos. And I have no problem. I told Jerry, he's a retired Marshtown cop. I know protocol and chain of command. I'll listen to Jerry. Whatever he says, I'm going to listen to him.
Jerry's a character.
He's something else. But no, it's an honor for me to be involved. It was an honor for the sheriff to be my sponsor. And it was an honor for the sheriff to bring me in.
So what you just said, you know, Mayor, is the heart and soul of the 200 Club.
Absolutely.
For the listeners, if they want to join, is there a way they can reach out to the 200 Club of Morris County?
Absolutely. And ironically, this year, I'm the chair of membership. So if you go on the MorrisCounty200Club.com, you'll see become a member. It's still $200 a year. It was $200 a year 51 years ago. And people don't want an acknowledgement, but you get an acknowledgement that you participate. And all that means is that you're a supporter and you're thanking them. You get a beautiful gold card. My daughter has mine. It just shows that you're supportive and you appreciate what they do. But you can join for $200 a year. And the scholarships and the offset of mortgages and bills and day-to-day living expenses, it's a beautiful, beautiful club. And I can't talk about it without talking about Rob DiMitteo.
President DiMitteo. I had him on last year. Ace, I mean, he's another interesting guy. Oh, great guy. Huge heart.
Yeah.
Brought him on last year. And, you know, he knocked it out of the park like you're doing today.
Oh, thank you very much.
But, yeah.
So far.
So, well, yeah, we got a little bit of time. Let's not mess it up.
Let's not do it.
Yeah, but President DiMitteo was another prime example, shiny example, mm-hmm. of the character and quality of the folks that put their really heart and soul into the 200 Club of Morris County. Talk a little bit about your experience with President DiMitteo.
I went to a meeting, my first meeting, and Rob wanted to do a First Responders Day. And because of my experience in my life and in public service, I had a couple recommendations, and I said, hey, if there's anything I could do to help. Well, before you know it, it was going to be handled in Hanover Township. He reached out to TQ. He's our assistant superintendent in Hanover in the rec department, retired policeman. Before you know it, Rob and I were at the fields looking around what we're going to do. We were talking about bringing in this company. So we started really firing. And Rob's one of those people, you meet him, you feel like you've known him for 30 years. There are people like that in our lives. I can't explain it, but I feel like I've known Rob for 30 years. I've only known Rob for about a year and a half. So we had a meeting after we did a lot of work, and he asked me to be a trustee. And I said, well, what does the trustee do? And I was honored. You were there, I think, when I
became. Yeah, I mean, you're, like I said, you're a wonderful, wonderful addition. And you want to know life's mysteries? So Lou Nisavacia is now the mayor of Randolph. Mm-hmm. But that's how I got involved, Because Ray, great guy, great accounting firm, the Sabatia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Todd, I think this would be great for you. It's a great bunch of people, business owners, local folks, want to show their support to the first responders. And what I found striking was that when I got to meet all these great guys and ladies, it's all the common goal. Egos are out the window. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to figure out, how do we show the support to the first responder community? Because we don't thank them enough. And that's one of the things that I thought when we were coming, when you were coming on today, is that people should really pause and reflect about what the first responders do for us. When you were a youngster in Bayonne, they were saving your life. But what you also said that was striking is they're going out. They don't, 99.9% of the time, they don't know who they're responding to. They got a call, there's an emergency. And they put their lives on the lines for us, strangers. Mm-hmm. And tell us about, you know, we have the big awards coming up this mm-hmm. Thursday, April 27th. Beautiful place, Birchwood, mm-hmm. not far from here.
Head of a township business.
Yeah, wonderful place. And as trustees, we got to kind of vet some of the incredible things going on in our community, life-saving, heroic activities the public doesn't even know about.
No.
What was your thoughts when you were reading about some of these incredible, you know, first responder acts?
Well, to be honest with you, I was taken back by a lot of them. Even the video with the rescue in the Passaic River last year, where two of our Livingston police were saved. People don't think this goes on. People don't think it's real. I've had somebody tell me in a pretty good position that our town is safe. Our town is easy to police because it's safe. I said, maybe our town is safe because it's policed well. I even joked that at 3 o'clock in the morning, when somebody's pulling somebody over on Route 10 going 115 miles an hour, we're at home sleeping. I couldn't imagine, even when I was young and fired up, I couldn't imagine the pressure and the adrenaline walking up to a car at 3 o'clock in the morning that you just chased. It was going 115 miles an hour. And that's somebody's kid. That's somebody's husband. That's somebody's brother. I mean, when I read about this and when I read some of the letters from the families, even with the scholarships, it's heartbreaking. So for me, if I go to a meeting and hang out with you guys, and I love hanging out with you guys, I love going to the academy. I feel like pretty important when I go there. I mean, that's the least I can do. Even helping people, their heroes get photoed and working with Jerry on Thursday. I mean, it's the least I can do. But what I think about it, though, when I read about it, is I think we have to do more to work towards what former Hanover Township Chief Roddy said. And I say this all the time, and you said it from a different place 40 minutes ago. Unfortunately, we meet our first responders on our worst day. We have to work a little harder, and we're all doing it. We're all working harder, but we can always do better to have us meet our first responders on our best day or a very good day and help understand each other more what they do. I've told my police in my town that I don't really understand what you do, but you know that I'm trying to learn as much as I can. And that's what I can do. I try to learn as much as I can to help.
Well, I mean, once again, I mean, Mayor, that's the beauty of the 200 Club. That is our mission. God forbid there is a tragedy. We want to step up as an organization to show the family that we have their backs or heartbreaks with them, and that we understand the sacrifices they're making. And similarly, on Thursday, I get so like juiced up inside when I see these heroes, because like everybody needs a hero. And I see in real life, these yeah. people are doing some stuff that I know they say life is crazier than fiction. It's not like a movie. This is real life.
Yes,
like,
it is.
You hear the Roxbury police officer, there's a carjacking. He's basically putting his life online to stop a carjacker raid on Route 10, or people running to burning houses, firefighters. It's incredible. Ice breaks and they go on the ice with no equipment. Or an off-duty police officer sees a burning house and comes running in to save people. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, like that's life. So God bless the first responders.
I'm with you, Todd.
So I got all worked up. I mean, you got me thinking about the big event on Thursday and the bagpipes and the whole scene. I mean, it's wonderful. I mean, you know, the police walk in, you have the bagpipes. I mean, you got a lump in your throat. It's really,
serious.
It's
very
cool
serious.
Stuff. So before we conclude, I mean, we could go on and on.
Yeah.
You know, you were saying, oh, my God, can we do this for an hour? We can keep on going. But there's a few things I would just want to touch on. a quote. You have a, I was reading that, you know, you believe that a piece of thread is thin and not very strong. But when you put many pieces of the thread together, it will become a rope, which is very strong. Why is that teamwork philosophy so important to you?
It goes back to ensemble play. It goes back to being a musician. And it basically is life. And it can transfer to sports. Like Derek Jeter was great. Mariano Rivera was great. But they wouldn't have won all those World Series without Girardi, Knobloch, Bernie Williams, Paul O'Neill. Teamwork.
You know your baseball, by the way. That was
amazing. I used to be pretty obsessed. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Don't ask me now who's on it. But no, but you know, it's important because also to work with a team and an ensemble, you have to be confident. You have to know your role. You have to know where you're strong and where you're not strong. Like, I know where I'm strong and I know where I'm not very strong, but I don't have to be everything to everybody, and I couldn't be if I wanted to. And even with the Drug Coalition, the Mental Health Association, all the different things we're doing together, and we didn't get to the Whippany Passaic River Flood Remediation, we have an incredible group of people. And Ronald Reagan said he believes the true formula for success is to surround yourself with brilliant people. But some people aren't confident enough to surround themselves with brilliant people because they want to be the smartest guy in the room. And there's not that many people that are the smartest guy in the room. I couldn't care less if somebody said Gallagher's the smartest guy in the room. I do my thing and I go, and hopefully I did something to help somebody.
If I said I was the smartest guy, I would leave the room. I'd look for another one.
I'd probably see if you wanted to go get food somewhere. Let's go to a diner.
But, so no, I got that. So another quote from you, because you know, obviously we're in the world of music.
Mm-hmm.
The Bruce Springsteen song, taking one step back and two steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important to you?
That's a beautiful question because it segues into one of my notes. One of the, like I said before, I'm really interested in problem solving. And I believe that that's a whole arena of thought, problem solving. And I get a kick out of it. Nobody will know except for now everybody watching us. I get a kick out of when somebody will begin a problem-solving exercise by saying, well, we've always done it this way. Well, we've always done it this way. If it worked, we wouldn't have the problem today. Now, we could take the way we've always done it and modify it to address the problem of today. But in order to do a serious analysis of a problem and want a true solution, you have to evaluate the problem. So instead of saying, oh, yeah, let's do this, this, and this, well, let's take a step back, look at the last 5 to 10 years, 10 to 15 years, what has been done, why are we here today, what could we do differently to truly expect a different result? So that's my point.
Wonderful, Mayor. I just want to say thank you again. God bless you. Everything you're doing to lift up the community, bring it together, putting the spotlight on issues, real issues, changing lives for the better. It's an incredible honor to have you today on the show, Mayor.
You know what? The honor's mine.
God bless
and
you.
And I love
sir.
Working with you on the 200 Club. You're my
I'm
brother.
I'm looking forward to Thursday.
Thank
so
you.
For the listeners, remember, there's folks like Mayor Ace Gallagher out there putting their hat in the ring, using their God-given talent, their passion, their enthusiasm to make the world better. We can always step up and do more, but you got to put the foot into the ring and get going at it. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about what other people say. Just do it. You'll feel so much better. God bless you, and please tune in next Sunday. Take care.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.